Welcome to The Christian Working Woman with Mary Lohman, and I'm Julie Bastide. Well, here we are around the corner from Christmas, which means we're thinking about what gifts we'll get for the people we know and love. We all look forward to opening a gift or two at Christmas, don't we? If you're finding it hard to find just the right gift for someone you know, Mary's got a suggestion for the best possible gift. You can afford it, and yet it's priceless.
That's right, Julie. It's the best gift you could ever give someone else, and at the same time, you give this gift to yourself.
Sounds interesting, Mary. Tell us about this gift.
The gift I'm talking about is the gift of forgiveness. Here's a story that illustrates this, as told by John William Smith. The Christmas of 1949, we did not have a tree. My dad had as much pride as anybody, I suppose, so he wouldn't just say that we couldn't afford one. When I mentioned it, my mother said that we weren't going to have one this year, that we couldn't afford one, and even if we could, it was stupid to clutter up your house with a dead tree. I wanted a tree badly, though, and I thought, in my naive way, that if we had one, everybody would feel better. So taking matters into my own hands, about 3 days before Christmas, I was out collecting for my paper route. It was fairly late, long after dark. It was snowing and really cold. I went to the apartment building to try to catch a customer who had not paid me for nearly 2 months. She owed me $7. Much to my surprise, she was home. She invited me in, and not only did she pay me, she gave me a dollar tip. It was a windfall for me. I now had 8 whole dollars. What happened next was totally unplanned. On the way home, I walked past a Christmas tree lot, and the idea hit me. The selection wasn't very good because it was so close to the holiday, but there was this one real nice tree. It had been a very expensive tree, and no one had bought it. Now it was so close to Christmas that the man was afraid no one would. He wanted $10 for it. But when I, in my gullible innocence, told him I only had 8, he said he might sell it for that. I really didn't want to spend the whole $8 on the tree, but it was so pretty that I finally agreed. I dragged it all the way home, about a mile, I think. And I tried hard not to damage it or break off any limbs. The snow helped to cushion it, and it was still in pretty good shape when I got home. You can't imagine how proud and excited I was. I propped it up against the railing on our front porch and went in. My heart was bursting as I announced that I had a surprise. I got Mom and Dad to come to the front door, and then I switched on the porch light. "Surprise!" "Where did you get that tree?" my mother exclaimed. But it wasn't the kind of exclamation that indicates pleasure. "I bought it up on Main Street. Isn't it just the most perfect tree you ever saw?" I said, trying to maintain my enthusiasm. "Where did you get the money?" Her tone was accusing, and it began to dawn on me that this wasn't going to turn out as I had planned. From my paper route," I explained about the customer who had paid me. "And you spent the whole $8 on this tree?" she exclaimed. She went into a tirade about how stupid it was to spend my money on a dumb tree that would be thrown out and burned in a few days. She told me how irresponsible I was and how I was just like my dad with all those foolish, romantic, noble notions about fairy tales and happy endings, and that it was about time I grew up and learned some sense about the realities of life and how to take care of money and spend it on things that were needed and not on silly things. She said that I was going to end up in the poorhouse because I believe in stupid things like Christmas trees, things that don't amount to anything. I just stood there. My mother had never talked to me like that before, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I felt awful. I began to cry. Finally, she reached out and snapped off the porch light. "Leave it there," she said. "Leave that tree there till it rots. So every time we see it, we'll all be reminded of how stupid the men in this family are." Then she stormed up the stairs to her bedroom, and we didn't see her until the next day. Dad and I brought the tree in and we made a stand for it. He got out the box of ornaments and we decorated it as best we could, but men aren't too good at things like that, and besides, it wasn't the same without Mom. There were a few presents under it by Christmas Day, although I don't remember a single one of them. But Mom wouldn't have anything to do with it. It was the worst Christmas I ever had. Fast forward to today. Judy and I married in August of 63, and Dad died on October 10 of that year. Over the 8 years that came next, we lived in many places. Mom sort of divided up that year, either living with my sister Jerry or with us. In 1971, we were living in Wichita, Kansas. Mom was staying with us during the holidays. On Christmas Eve, I stayed up very late. I was totally alone with my thoughts, alternating between joy and melancholy. And I got to thinking about my paper route, that tree, what my mother had said to me, and how Dad had tried to make things better. I heard a noise in the kitchen and discovered that it was Mom. She couldn't sleep either, and had gotten up to make herself a cup of tea, which was her remedy for just about everything. As she waited for the water to boil, she walked into the living room and discovered me there. She saw my open Bible and asked me what I was reading. When I told her, she asked if I would read it to her, and I did. When the kettle began to whistle, she went and made her tea. Then she came back and we started to visit. I told her how happy I was that she was with us for Christmas and how I wished that Dad could have lived to see his grandchildren and to enjoy this time because he always loved Christmas so. It got very quiet for a moment and then she said, "Do you remember that time on 12 Mile Road when you bought that tree with your paper route money?" "Yes," I said, "I've just been thinking about it, you know." She hesitated for a long moment, as though she were on the verge of something that was bottled up so deeply inside her soul that it might take surgery to get it out. Finally, great tears started down her face, and she cried, "Oh, son, please forgive me. That time and that Christmas have been a burden on my heart for 25 years. I wish your dad were here so I could tell him how sorry I am for what I said. Your dad was a good man, and it hurts me to know that he went to his grave without ever hearing me say that I was sorry for that night. Nothing will ever make what I said right, but you need to know that your dad never did have any money since. We were 2 months behind in our house payments, we had no money for groceries, and that tree was just the last straw. I took it all out on you. It doesn't make it right, but I hoped that someday, when you were older, you would understand. I've wanted to say something for ever so long, and I'm so glad it's finally out." Well, we both cried a little and held each other, and I forgave her. It wasn't hard, you know. Then we talked for a long time, and I did understand. I saw what I had never seen, and the bitterness and sadness that had gathered up in me for all those years gradually washed away. It was marvelously simple. The great gifts of this season, or any season, cannot be put under the tree. You can't wear them, or eat them, or drive them, or play with them. We spend so much time on the lesser gifts, but the great gifts are like the one gift, the gift that began back in Bethlehem. You can't buy them, and they're not on anybody's shopping list. They come as He came, quietly, freely, unexpectedly. And if you have unforgiveness in your life that's making you miserable, why not give the gift of forgiveness and let Jesus show you how to forgive those who have hurt you? Well, I love this story because it illustrates several things about forgiveness. And first, it's really hard. I've often said that there's only one thing more difficult than forgiving someone who has hurt you, and that is not forgiving them. harboring unforgiveness for any length of time, much less for long periods, is so painful. It always grows into bitterness, and that bitterness seeps through your mind and your soul and your body like a poison. And the longer it stays there, the more it destroys you. It's hard to forgive, but it's so much harder not to forgive. Second, the sooner you can get the hurt out in the open, the better it is for everyone. Had John's mother been able to talk to her son about this years earlier, they both would have enjoyed their relationship for all that time without the deep pain they both felt. His mother regretted that she had not said these words to her husband before he died. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you want to say words of forgiveness to so that you don't live with that regret. I wish I had told them. I wish I had said that. And then thirdly, John didn't understand the stress his mother was feeling because of the financial problems they were facing. And once his mother explained it, he was able to let go of the hurt and the pain. Oh my goodness, if they had just had this conversation, you know, they could have had it weeks or months after it happened. And all of this pain would have never happened. I wonder how many people today are living with so much hurt and pain because there has never been a time of genuine communication where those involved could share their side of the story in a peaceful and non-judgmental way. Is there someone in your life today that needs your forgiveness? What is keeping you from doing that? Or do you need to ask someone for forgiveness? It could be something small, maybe like this family issue that happened to John when he was young. Who would think that this one-time encounter with his mother could dwell in his mind and heart for all these years? So what you think is just a small thing could be very large to someone else. And as long as it's on your mind and your heart, then you need to either ask for forgiveness or offer forgiveness to the other one. The person who has hurt you may not realize how a small thing could create such a hurt. This could be the best Christmas you've had in years if you could give the priceless gift of forgiveness. And of course, we have the ultimate example in what Jesus did for us. He gave everything when he came to earth and became a man, taking on flesh so that he could live the perfect life and die the perfect death so that you could have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, the greatest gift ever. And as you remember that gift, be willing to give the gift of forgiveness and receive it for yourself this Christmas time.
Thanks, Mary, for that reminder of the greatest gift ever. And as you consider where to give during this year-end giving season, would you consider giving to the Christian Working Woman? This ministry is made possible because of the Lord's faithfulness and your generosity. Because of both, we can encourage, equip, and empower more women in the workplace to be ambassadors for Christ. You can give your donation on our website at christianworkingwoman.org. Are you feeling stuck in your career, wondering how to address challenges you face as a Christian in the workforce, struggling to navigate workplace dynamics? Well, you're not alone. We've all been there, and it's why we've started Transformational Coaching. Through this 6-month program, you'll connect with a qualified female coach who will help take you from where you are to where you want to be. Visit our website to learn more and connect with a coach today. We're so glad you could join us today, and please join us again next week for The Christian Working Woman.